chapter 9. 9:1. Then he called his 12 disciples. Who did he call? Everybody wants a call from God. Everybody wants to be called. How many believe you're called of God and to do great and mighty things? Everybody wants a ministry. Everybody wants a title. Everybody wants something. Look at somebody and say, what do you want? Oh, come on, you can be real. Come on, you can be real in church. Say, what do you want? Everybody wants something. He called his 12 disciples together. And this is what people need to realize. And he gave them power. He calls disciples, and he gives disciples power. Those that are always willing to be like Jesus, to be taught of God, to stay under the word. These are the ones that receive the call and receive the power of God. And he gave authority over some devils, easy devils, and to cure diseases. And he sent them. He didn't send, you know, everybody heard some were called, some were sent, and some just got up and went. Anybody ever heard that before? But we need to figure out what the them are. What is the them? Disciples. There are so many people that want to get out there after never having heard anything, having learned anything, having mentored anything. He sends disciples. When you want to do, we've been talking this morning about everybody wanting to do a great and mighty thing that we might be able to bear much fruit in the end, correct? But one of the things you got to realize is that he's going to send you to minister that thing that you got down on the inside of your heart, that anointing that we were talking about this morning. But the person he's going to send is he's going to send a disciple. Many times people are not successful because they go, but they've never been discipled. They never set up under anything. Unteachable. Unteachable people can't teach. You ever notice that? If you can't sit and listen to somebody, nobody's going to want to listen to you. Because what are you going to have to say? I tell you what, you should get to the point to where you've set up under so much word that you could get up there and cough and people would be fed. Amen? Disciples are sent. So he gave them power. Who do you want that supernatural power? Now we can get up there and put a badge on everybody. Give everybody a badge tied on the bumper sticker. But that's not going to get a devil out. I'll tell you who's got power, those that have heard. Because you know what? The anointing of God follows the what? The word of God. And there's only one way you're going to get the word. And that's by sitting up under the word and hearing. You know what? God moves by what? Faith. Faith pleases God and faith brings the work on, right? Many people want to go out and produce a bunch of stuff that will only come about as a result of faith when they don't have any. Anybody who hadn't heard anything doesn't have any faith. They might have a lot of smoke, a lot of mouth, but it's not faith. I tell you what, it's not faith. Faith only comes by hearing the word of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? A faith-filled person is always listening and rehearing. Okay, so listen, he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. How many of you are ready to go? How many are ready to go? And he said unto them, take nothing. Now listen, verse 23. First thing that we learn, that disciples are sent. Look at somebody and tell them, this is a free world, in a free country. You can go wherever you want to go. You can preach in many churches. You know, you can preach anywhere. You can preach in the bathroom. You can do whatever you want to. But what you go with makes a big difference. There is something about an anointing from heaven that makes a difference in the lives of individuals. Paul would preach and he would minister. And Paul would say at times that I might come, that I might impart some supernatural gift among you. Something to take with you. Well, that's what kind of ministry you want to have. Here's what you want to be able to flow in. In verse 23, we're getting in devotions here. Devotions can be good. Let's go on down to verse 23. And he said to them, if any man will come after me. Now he sends disciples. A disciple basically means a follower. Now we know that followers have authority, right? Disciples have authority. And disciples have power. Don't let anybody deceive you. Who's got the power? Who's got the authority? Disciples. That means they're disciplined. It takes authority. It takes great power to discipline yourself. Do you hear what I'm saying? Anybody can scream for 40 minutes, ah, Jesus. You know, that doesn't take any power. But it takes power to sit up under something and stabilize yourself and endure through some stuff. That's power. Like we talked about this morning, he that takes, you know, someone that can take their own heart and rule their own heart is greater than someone that can take a whole city. That's power. Power to control yourself. So we know that the people that receive that kind of power are disciples. And in verse 23 it says this, listen, and he said to them, if any man will even come after me, if anybody even wants to be a disciple, you will never be able to be taught of God unless you do these things. Okay? Let him deny himself first. You're not going to learn anything until you deny yourself. Self-denial and follow me. It says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You're not going to be able to follow Jesus until you deny yourself. Because I'm going to tell you straight up, your head's not going to want to go where Jesus is going. And he's going to tell you straight up, before you even get on the bus to take this trip, I'm driving. I don't need any extra navigators. I got the road map. Somebody said, just get in the car, sit down, and shut up, and go for the ride. Before you even start this road with Jesus, he's not asking your opinion. You can sing in the car, sing worship songs, but deny yourself. Get that over with from the get-go. Deny the person that's willing to lay down their own opinion, their own thought pattern, their own mindset. They will be the ones that are able to receive the mindset and pattern of God. Flow with it. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life shall save it. Now let's skip again. Let's go to 44. Let these things sink down into your ears. The Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him what he was talking about. Don't be afraid to ask God, what are you talking about? Every once in a while you'll get a revelation or you'll get a wave of the Spirit or hear something taught and you don't understand anything that person was talking about. Anybody been in one of these church services say, what in the world was Pastor Rod talking about? Anybody been there? Sometimes it's out there. And many people are afraid. Don't be afraid to go back to the Holy Ghost and say, explain this thing a little bit more clearly. You can find that all throughout the Scripture. You know, when he taught in parables, they said, Lord, what do you mean by this? Everybody say, learn to go to God in prayer and say, what do you mean? If the disciples had to do it, you're going to have to do it. Don't just leave it to your head. Don't just leave it to your head. I can't figure it out in my head. I wasn't preaching it to your head. I was preaching it to your heart. So you got to have the Holy Ghost come back and reveal those things to you. So don't be afraid to ask. We can ask for a car. We can ask for a house. We can ask for money. We can ask for all these other things. Well, I want to ask God to give me revelation as to what his Spirit is saying. You can ask the Holy Ghost and he'll give it to you. Wisdom. Now going on, there's a revelation there. And they were afraid to ask him. When we read verse 44, the words, the Son of Man is about to be delivered up into the hands of man, a revelation light turned on. How often we just read through scriptures without listening to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. The Lord spoke to me this saying, you know, you can pray with God and you can read the word with God and God will speak to you and reveal certain things to you. And as I was reading, there was a season of the word. It was one of those springtime seasons. And God spoke to us. Today, God is only asking us. The Lord is only asking us to do what he did for us. The Lord spoke to me one thing. Today, God wants every man to do the same thing that he did for us. He delivered himself up into the hands of man. Everybody highlight that. You know, everything that we have in the body of Christ and everything that we have is the result of sowing and reaping. And Jesus is not going to ask you to do anything that he himself has done. And Jesus said that scriptures is in here for this reason. Listen, he delivered himself up into the hands and will of man. And man did whatsoever pleased him to do. Today, God is asking us to do the same thing. Deliver ourselves into his hands. The only difference is that we brought death. When Jesus delivered himself up into the hands of man, we had him in our hands. Said it right there in scripture. He delivered himself up. Now we're talking about being disciples. We're talking about giving ourselves to one another. Well, Jesus gave himself to us. He really did. He delivered himself up into the hand of man. That's faith. We have a hard time delivering ourselves into the hand of God, who said that he is our Father, that it's the Lord's pleasure to do us good and not to do us harm, that it's a safe place, that God will bless you. He has a plan to bless us and give us an expected end. That's easy to give ourselves over to. Imagine Jesus' case. The same surrender that we have to do to live this Christian life, that same faith that we have to turn our life over to Jesus Christ without any question, without any doubt, without any fear. Guess what? He did the same thing, knowing who we were and knowing what we would do. Jesus said in his word, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Well, deep within us and within our heart, within man at that present time, we didn't have life to offer. We didn't have grace to offer. We didn't have anything grand to offer. The only thing we had to offer was sin and death. And Jesus willingly surrendered himself into the hands of men. So don't go to God and tell him you're having a hard time turning everything over to him. He did the same thing. If he can turn himself over to you, you can turn yourself over to him. That's why there's not going to be any excuse when we get to glory. Do you hear what I'm saying? He did it while he was here on earth. I tell you what, people say, I had a hard time. I got a life to live. I got places to go and things to do. I ain't got no time to be thinking about Jesus. Tell me Jesus didn't have a life. He left his throne in glory. His heavenly home. It shouldn't be a pressure or a stress to live this devoted life to God. Hallelujah. He did it when he had a choice. He delivered himself. He was not taken. He surrendered. Some of us are having difficulty obeying the Holy Ghost and obeying the Spirit of God. We need to learn from the chief master, from Jesus Christ himself, our leader, and be followers of Christ. He says, it's not hard. It's in this discipleship scripture. These are good scriptures, aren't they? You want to be a disciple. This is a scripture that gives us the premise of discipleship right there. He said, first thing you do is turn yourself over. I can't turn myself over. He said, well, I did. I gave myself over to the hand of man. And if Jesus can give himself into our hands, we can put ourselves into his hand. So, he wouldn't be able to reap you unless he sowed himself. Say sowing and reaping. And some of you are in the hand of God right now just because Jesus sowed himself. It's a supernatural thing. It's a supernatural thing. You wouldn't have the ability to stay in God's power, to stay in his grace, and stay in his hand unless somebody sowed a supernatural seed. Many times we just read through things in the Word of God without the Holy Ghost because we're what? Afraid to ask. So I say, I'll never complain about having to surrender my life. Listen, the only difference that we brought death and he brings life, we gave him our wrongs. He gives us his righteousness. God has not asked you to do anything he hasn't done himself. He was willing to be obedient and gave his life to God by putting it into the hands of man. Do you see what I'm saying? He gave himself to God by putting his life in the hands of man. Will you give your life in return? I tell you what, as you grow up in the things of God, you're going to learn that as you give yourself to others, you're really giving yourself to God. And those that are in need, that's Jesus. Verse 62. When you give yourself, don't be an Indian giver. Don't take back something you gave. Once you're in his hand, don't jump out. Stay in it. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand on a plow and looking back is seen of God. 962. There should be no explanation necessary. This is what God is saying to us today. Don't look back ever. Take your eyes off of earthly things and put them on Jesus. Because what you see is what you get. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? What you see is what you get. What you're focused on is what you're going to possess. That's why we need to take our eyes off of worldly things and put them on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What do you want? You want to find out what you want? Find out what your eyes are focused on. That's what you want. And many times the things we are looking at are not really what we want, but that's what you're going to get. So that's why you got to be careful. You got to control your eyes. Many times, I tell you what, we got to be in God. At times we got to watch what we say, but we got to watch what we see. Got to watch what we say, see, and hear. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't even look that way. That's why the Word of God tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. Because you'll never be able to grab the things of the Spirit of God until you get up into the Spirit of God by faith. Okay? When we walk in the natural, we miss the Spirit of God. How many want to go deeper in the things of God? How many want to go deeper? I tell you what, when we get in, when there's a teaching anointing or a revelation anointing present, that means there's going to be a manifestation anointing. A revelation anointing is a platform, ministers. A revelation anointing is a platform for a manifestation anointing. A revelation anointing is the platform for a manifestation anointing. So when someone comes at with you with a lot of spiritual revelation and a lot of information in the Word of God, and God's trying to get you to get it in the Word, He's building a platform to manifest something to you. Notice the first thing Jesus did when He came down here, He taught everywhere. He taught. He taught. He taught. He said, y'all go about preaching everywhere. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then He manifested everywhere He taught. When we walk in the natural, we miss the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. The flesh will only give you what it has to offer. In the long run, what does the flesh have to offer people? Death. But if you walk in the Spirit, you'll find life. And this is what you are really looking for. If you're looking for Jesus, you will see Him when you get out of the flesh and in the Spirit. How many want to see Jesus? It's a lifestyle. You'll never get to Jesus walking in the flesh. You've got to be spiritual. So you say it's a spiritual thing. Your mind just wouldn't understand. Anybody remember those t-shirts, the black thing you wouldn't understand? I tell you what, it's a Jesus thing. The mind of man just won't understand. There's some things about God that you've got to develop on the inside to pick up. It's spiritually discerned. Look at this closely, dear friends. Between chapter 9, let's go there. Between the chapters, there is a change of seasons. And we're talking about a change of season right now because we perceive that we're between the chapters. We're between seasons here, okay? This is where we're at. In chapter 9, Jesus tells His disciples to count the cost. They must say, count it up. It says, count the what? Okay, hold on. We need to study that again. Everybody study that. What does it say? Count the... Let's go to 9. In 9, He's trying to teach us. Anybody say, if anyone would follow me, he must take up his cross daily and follow me. And there was an also scripture that said, you got to count the cost. No one goes to war without first counting the cost of that war. You hear what I'm saying? Somebody say, count the... So there is a... Salvation is free. But it will cost you everything. Do you hear what I'm saying? He tells us to lay down our lives and put it in the hands of God. He tells us in the last verse that even looking back will disqualify us for effective use. Listen to your words. Listen to your heart. If you always talk about going back, disqualified. Out of the race, back to practice. You can't even have a shadow of turning on the inside of you. God's not going to take you to war. I should have stayed where I was. God said, going back to it. You didn't blown it. I mean, come on. You're not doing God some favor. Amen. You're blessed to do His will. People are a trip today. I tell you what. They work a little miracle and expect God to beat a tambourine for them. It's an honor to serve the Lord. Do you hear what I'm saying? God will raise up stones to praise Him. Rocks and stones to praise Him. Don't you think He can get somebody to play the keyboard? Yes. You think He can get somebody to preach His message? Yes. Say, there's somebody where you came from. You're not doing God a favor by loving Him and serving Him. I mean, it's an honor to live for the Lord. Don't disqualify yourself by looking back, because what you see is what you get. We just want to help them out. What are you looking at? Are you looking at to what's coming or what's left behind? Many people look at what they sow. Sow it. Then look to Jesus for what's coming. If I wanted that, I'm not going to look at that. I don't want that back. I want something better back. Forget about it. Running over. So looking back will disqualify you for effective use. It's a choice. You got to train your spirit. You got to train your heart. You got to train your mind. You got to train your words. Don't get around people that are singing looking back songs. Looking back parties. Everybody has a looking back party. Anybody heard of people you get in the car with certain people and all they do is talk about what they came out of. Looking back parties. Well, if they preach it long enough, they'll go back to it. How many of you want to be disqualified for effective use? I believe in the past year, those that have been here have heard the call of God and what it requires. Jesus is speaking to us in the final hours of this season. Well, you're in the season. You're in the season of preparation. It's decision time. Will you follow him? If you follow me, it must be complete. There will be no part-time servants in the kingdom of God. Someone say, God doesn't have any part-time employees. There's no such thing as a part-time servant. Only full-time employees with God. All the way or no way at all. Say, in or out. Hot or cold. White or black. Make up your mind someplace else. Your mind's got to be made up and your heart's got to be fixed as you're going to go on for Jesus. So they don't even think about it. Count the cost and go with it. And once you think about it, don't think about it again. Don't ever get out of the bond if you're thinking about going back. Don't start a race unless you know you're going to finish it. It's my prayer that you would all make the quality decision to follow Jesus and give him your life. Don't turn back now. You have come so far. A scripture is brought to my remembrance. I tell you what, there is a scripture brought to remembrance. This is a powerful scripture. Turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. And this is a sad thing. This is a sad thing that so many believers do and so many saints or ain'ts do. So thoughtless, somebody say thoughtless, are ye. So thoughtless are ye, having begun in the spirit, now in the flesh do you end up? I tell you what, God is speaking that to the entire body of Christ. We begin in the upper room in the spirit of God. We're going to end up in the flesh. So you started this thing in the Holy Ghost, and you're going to finish it in the Holy Ghost. You know, people are tripped sometimes. They get in this thing and get in God. God blows their mind. They're so spiritual and then they get all old. If you started it on fire for God, finish it on fire for God. Dean, this is a good scripture for you, brother. Amen. When you got into this thing, you saw the light from heaven. Amen. There was a spiritual manifestation. You started it in the spirit. Don't end up in the flesh. What you start with, finish with. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. I will finish it. I will complete my course. In the spirit of the Holy Ghost. Between the chapters, there's a change of season. Notice that in this change, the word spoken, you know, have you ever heard the word change? Everybody say change 5 times. Those that were listening to God in the previous season. Notice that he said disciples. That he sends disciples out. Those that were listening to the word of God in the previous season. If they had already believed and receive the word, they were prepared for the change of seasons. God prepares his people in advance for change in things that are about to come. He does not surprise us. But many times people get surprised because they're hard-headed. Very few times will God do a thing. Now, he'll surprise you by doing a better thing than he said he was going to do. But usually every move of the Spirit is announced. Even the coming of the Lord was announced. It's always announced. Even the rapture, we don't know the day nor the hour, but the season and the time of it, it's announced. You don't have to be called. If you just open your ears and open your heart, you will know what's going on so that you can be in sync with the timing of God. It's not God's will that you be caught off guard and surprised, but keep your eyes open, keep your heart open to what the Spirit of God's doing, and be on time with the things of God. God does not catch us by surprise. Even his coming is not to catch us off guard. God told the people that he was to come if they were willing to listen. God has prepared you for this season, and if you hold fast to what you have heard. There's always warnings, and you know, I tell you that. Some people said they were prophetic words. You know, there's a season coming. Get behind the rock of the word of God, and when the wind blows, you'll remain strong. Anchor yourself in the word. And people thought that people were playing games. Well, do you know great moves of the Spirit? People are blown away in great moves of the Spirit. They get caught up in manifestation. Thank God for manifestation. But the word will keep you and stabilize you. I tell you what, after every wave of every move of God, you want to remain stable, remain steady. You got to hear how to handle that wind of the Spirit of God. So God wouldn't, you know, a lot of people would be here today if they had just heard that word and prepared themselves and taken it lightly. But it didn't come with thunderbolts. You know, it didn't make the roof shake. They didn't feel a goosebump up their back. It doesn't say that. Hear the word of God and obey the word of God. God will back it up. I speak to you. There's a move of heaven coming. Prepare yourself. There's a move of heaven coming. Amen. If you want to remain stable and remain strong. We want you to outstand it. Be able strong and stand in it. This wave has been prophesied again and again and again and again. We've heard it. Ooh, what a strong one. Brother Hagin's living to see this next move of the Spirit of God. Eager about it to see what God's about to do. How many of you want to see and be able to manifest and walk in it? Hallelujah. I believe you're those people that when the fire is burning, you'll be those that are walking in the fire and able to function in the fire of God and in the Word of God. There's coming a move of the Spirit of God so grand and so powerful that people are going to be so blown away they're going to be immobilized. But you don't want to be immobilized, and you want to be able to function. You hear what I'm saying? We talk a lot about visions, but it's in the Bible, amen. You'll have some too. You're able to handle it. And before, a couple years ago, we couldn't handle it, amen, because we weren't taught in the Word enough to handle these things and to understand visions. You wouldn't be able to tell a fruitcake or a true man of God anywhere. But now, because you've been taught in the Word of God concerning righteousness and all these other things and integrity and honor, you know the Spirit of God, and you're not going to get off on some tangent with some weird thing. You should shout if you see a weird thing. If you are able to discern a weird thing, you should dance. You don't dance to everybody's song anymore. Anybody come to town blowing a horn, everybody be running behind them, dancing and shouting and screaming, and you'd be thinking, can't you see the horns in the back of that sister's head? But thank God for the Word of God that He's stabilized you and held you strong, that you can handle strong things in the Spirit of God. There are a lot of heavy things in the Spirit of God. I mean, these people are reigning. I tell you what, there's a dimension of the Spirit. There's some people that hear God. So, I mean, they're moving on planes that are way beyond us. But we're growing up that we can handle things. We've been hearing a lot. You know, the last 3 days, we've been talking about visions. And why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that Word of God means the Logos of God. The Logos of God is the thought, intention, or purpose of God. The written Word is just, the written Word is one portion of the Word. And that's the solid Word that we can only stand by as sole authority. But the Word of God, when God's talking about the Word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, it means it's coming by hearing the thought and mindset and purpose of God. So if that revelation that we had came from heaven, I tell you what, that's the Word of God concerning the future for me. And the more we talk about it, the more your faith will be developed in it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why do you think Brother Hagin got out there? Brother Oral Roberts got out there, and they got out there, and they said certain things, and they got out there, and they taught the people based on a vision. Even though it was solid in the Word, but many visions. In the last 5 years, I think it was the four or five years, Brother Marty told me, when Brother Marty was here, he says, listen, they're moving on a word from heaven. They're moving, their whole ministry is moving on a word from heaven. Brother Hagin said we're about to enter into the season of manifestation, that the manifestation of God's about to flow, so they've changed just about everything going on what? The Word. And you notice when Brother Marty came here and preached, what did he preach? He preached the Word of God, but he preached out of prophecy. That prophetic word's better match up with Scripture. Amen? But how are you going to know what's about to happen unless you got the Holy Ghost abiding on the inside of you? God can do a whole lot more than keep you in the dark and guessing. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't you know they walk like that in the Bible days, and the Holy Ghost was more active than it is today? He would tell them, listen, go over here, go over there. Amen? Being led of the Holy Ghost. And people don't want to be led of the Holy Ghost. How can you be led of somebody that doesn't talk? Want to be led by the Spirit? You're not going to be led by the Spirit in your head. You're going to be led by the Spirit by prophetic words, supernatural revelations, dreams and visions, inspirations backed up by the Spirit of heaven. It's going to get a lot better than this. Awaken that Spirit on the inside of you. Why do you think it's going to deal with you any differently than he dealt with Bible people back then? Do you know we wouldn't have Jesus today if Joseph didn't know how to dream? And I'm not talking about Joseph the great dreamer. You read the Bible and you find out, we always talk about Mary, Mary, Mary. But I tell you what, Joseph was a prophet. Yeah. Why was he a prophet? Being led of God by a dream. He said, go over here. Then he would fall asleep the next night and have another dream. And it said, go over there. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He received what God wanted to tell him in his sleep. God's trying to tell you something. You better awaken every one of your spiritual senses to discern it. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. And knowledge will come to you in many different ways. Dreams, revelations, prophetic words, in seasons of prayer. Amen. You'll be praying in the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden an interpretation or an impression will come about you or come over you. That's the direction of the Holy Ghost. Flow with it. Don't be blind. Don't go by your own understanding. This is what we're talking about. We're right here in Scripture. Don't walk in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Walk in the Spirit of God. God can lead you and direct you. And you can. You don't have to call the psychic hotline when you got the Holy Ghost abiding on the inside. Go to Sister Know-It-All. Sister, you know, I got to run to this prophet, that prophet. What did God say? Say, you got an unction from the Holy Ghost yourself. Amen. When they wrinkle that forehead, you ever seen people try to get spiritual on you and they get all deep? So say, working real hard. If they got to dig hard to get it, I don't want it. I can do that myself. Follow the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Flow with the Spirit of God. Flow with the anointing of God. There's more that God's trying to tell you. More that God's trying to do in you. He will lead you and guide you into all truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. God has prepared you for this season, and if you hold fast to what you have heard, you will be able to stand. Whenever a change was about to take place, Jesus would speak to his disciples and prepare them. If you just look back over what you have already heard and learned, you will find that you are already prepared for the season to come. Everybody say, why do I have to take notes? Notes in church. I think that's the most powerful teaching that we have here. Isn't that amazing? Anybody was here for that service? I mean, we had a church service, and we were preparing to teach, and said, Holy Ghost, what do you want me to teach today? And he says, I want you to teach, why do people have to take notes in church? Amen. I was thinking, he's really mad at me, amen? He's really mad at me. You know, I thought he was trying to get back at me or something. I don't know. You know, trying to humble me or, you know. Amen, because I wanted some deep revelation, healing, casting out devils and all this other stuff. And he goes in there, why do I have to take notes in church? I tell you what, we had church that day. Good Lord. Holy Ghost fell. You had thought I'd been preaching about the upper room. It was a Holy Ghost blowout on why do we have to take notes in church. Anybody got a notepad? There's a reason, amen. Write it down. Write the vision down and make it plain so that when you read it, you can run. There are a lot of people stumbling because they don't have anything written down. You'll forget it. You'll forget it. You know what this is? Notes. Do you hear what I'm saying? You hear certain things that are for a season and for a time. I thought this was for August 16th, 1996. It's for today. Holy Ghost said, go back and get it. If you just look over what you've already done, you will be prepared for the season to come. What is the season to come? It's in chapter 10. He's sending us out. Everybody say, he's sending us out, not back. Hallelujah, that's a good thing, isn't it? Go to chapter 10. He's sending us out and not back. Not back to things that we have already overcome. Anybody notice that? You can have an attitude. Somebody say, been there, done that. Look at somebody else and say, been there, done that. This is the time when you get to think. Somebody say, different face, same spirit. God is sending us out, not back. Do you hear what I'm saying? Many of you that are ministers, you're going to have to realize you'll deal with certain spirits, certain mentalities, certain issues. It'll come back again. It'll have a different face. It'll be driving a new outfit. It'll have on a new dress. And the new dress is just another person. It's the same spirit with a new dress on. You hear what I'm saying? God is sending us out and not back. Do you hear what I'm saying? And you get to the point where you say, hey, I won't deal with that no more. So I've dealt with you once and for all. Hallelujah, I know how to handle you. Amen. I just go right back. Somebody say, I don't refight any battles. Same spirit, different dress. Isn't that a good thing? Some of you have had to overcome people on your jobs coming against you at different things. Some of you say conflict and all this adversity and all this mess. Do you hear what I'm saying? Listen, you don't have to retake any tests. If you discern the spirit, we wrestle not against, you know, flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Some say, sister, I'm not going to fight that spirit again. I beat him once. We could learn something. Some say, been there. I ain't going to waste my time. Say, already defeated. Amen. I'm just going to pick up and walk in the victory that I won last time. Don't you fight no same battles. It's not the first time you saw those spirits. Do the same thing you did last time. The devil doesn't have any new tricks. Amen. His show is old. They're singing the same songs. They have no creative ability whatsoever. I tell you what, they're playing the same stuff they pulled up in the Bible. He's got devils that can only talk in King James. I'm going to say, devils are dumb. You know, they would have learned, but they are dumb and they are crazy and they are insane. You know, devils are insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And you have to tell the devil every once in a while, didn't Jesus do this to you a while back? I'm going to do the same thing Jesus did. I mean, I would see certain things, certain spirits, and go right to war. So I say, I'm going to deal with that. I said, I already dealt with that. Hallelujah. I'm going on with Jesus. I'm going out and not back. We're on what God's doing now. After these things, in verse 10, chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord did appoint also over other 70s. I found out something new just today about that. These are two different groupings of people going out under the anointing. First was the apostolic anointing. He sent out those disciples. They went out and did it. These, I think these were laity. Laity. Anointing. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. It is spoken. It is prophesied. I believe there was an apostolic anointing. I believe there was an apostolic anointing opportunity for ministers and laity people to step out in what God called them to step out on. There was a grace over it. Those that were called to full-time ministry, some of them during that season, those that were ready should have jumped on in and did it. If you missed it, you missed it. God's not going to wait for you to re-catch it. He got some others out there. Amen. I believe that the next flow and the next grace is laity anointing. Get that in your spirit. All right. And it says, listen, and the Lord did appoint also other 70s and sent them by twos before his face. He sent out two. He sent them out by twos before his face to every city and place wherever, whether he himself was what? What was it? Everybody read that. Anybody want to get on something? Find out what you want to do? So say the anointing of the laity goes where Jesus is about to go. They go there and prepare the way for a manifestation. Do you see that in the word? They say, listen, he anointed those 70 and sent them out two by two before his face. That before his face is backed up. Sister Mother Teresa had a vision from heaven. Do you know she had a gift from God that every time she saw a poor person, she saw the face of Jesus on them? And that's why she did. And that's why they called, when she said it, she says the face, ministering to the face of Jesus. They wondered why she could minister to lepers. She didn't see a leper there. She saw Jesus' face. That's why she didn't have any problem with doing it. She wanted to be close to Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody else was running from the down and out. Amen. She was running to him. She saw Jesus. Hallelujah. And I tell you what, that's an anointing. Glory to God. Minister all those lepers and never got it yourself. Send them out, okay, two by two before his face to every place, to every city and place, whether he himself was about to come. There is an anointing that you must hear. There's a wave coming. And God wants to send you out where he himself is about to come. Break up the fallow ground. Guys, if you want to know what God is doing, this is what he is doing. He's about to send us out with authority and power to accomplish his will. He sends us out so he can get us out of here. Do you understand what I'm saying? He wants to take you out. He wants to take you out in the rapture. But before he can take you out, he's got to send you out. Is anybody catching that? He is sending us out two by twos to this world that we might preach the gospel everywhere and do the work and that he wants to do. When God is, God, you say, God, get us out of here. He says, I'm trying to send you out so I can take you out. But you won't be taken out until you're sent out. He that has an ear to listen to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. Now, why don't you stand right where you are? Glory to God.